Hey, this is Jeff Seymour, and welcome to the podcast. Today, I'm going to talk about the number one thing that's killing your acting spontaneity. I'll explain. Well, so far, it's been since, I think, April that I've been doing the Zoom classes, and I continue to love them. I'm now up to 10 classes per week. I just opened up the Wednesday nights at 5 p.m. and Sunday nights at 5 p.m., and I'm so excited as to how effective they are, and the people that do come in, I know that there is some trepidation at times because they wonder how it's going to work out. I know I was having a conversation with my Canadian agent, and he was asking me about it, saying, well, how do they do scenes? How is that done? And of course, it's a simple question. You wonder that, but you look at the screen and you have the scene. And I mean, it seems like to a person, everyone that started Taken One has absolutely adored the format. It just seems to work. And I know for myself, I find it incredibly effective for me to be able to focus, you know, right there on the actor. I'm looking right into their face, while they're acting with the other person. I'm just spying on each of them. And gosh, I love it. So, so far so good. It's one good thing from this wretched pandemic that I've discovered. And I'm positive that when the time comes for things to change and there is a vaccine and hopefully we go back to some normality, that I will always continue these Zoom classes. And then hopefully do some traveling as well and get to see people in person. At any rate, the number one thing that is killing your acting spontaneity. Are you ready? Here it is. Planning. It's your planning. Now, I know I've talked about this a number of different ways, but boy, oh boy, does this bear repeating. And because I have so many students per week now, I have this luxury, this pleasure of being able to see so many people and see the commonality in what they're going through. And what I hear more often than not, once they kind of get into the rhythm of the way that I want them to work, the comments that I hear when they're finding they're acting more spontaneous, they're having more fun, they feel freer, they feel lighter, they feel more in the pocket, more present when they're working, is a comment that's made that's like, I just stopped thinking so much about things. I quit planning the way I was going to do things. I stopped working hard on how I thought the scene should go. Things that you would hear and you would almost think, well, that just sounds like lazy talk. But it isn't lazy talk, which is another reason why I don't like this old school acting. And I know I've said it in podcasts, but it does bear repeating. How on earth are you going to have the semblance of spontaneity? Even the semblance of it, because it's never really going to be spontaneous. It's impossible. How would it be? With all the old school thinking, with your action verbs and beats and, you know, choices and your secondary choice and underlying action, whatever it is, all of the plans you've made. And I've said it before, even though some people might say, yes, well, I work on it and then I don't even think about it. And it just happens. No, it doesn't. You're aware of it because you need to know whether or not you did it. So let's just stop that foolish mythical talk. When you're doing all those things, when you're beholden to any idea that you've imposed on the scene, well, it only stands to reason that because you're even remotely beholden to an idea, obligated to a notion, that you're not going to be able to be spontaneous. Now, what do I mean by spontaneous? Well, certainly, I think it would be just delicious if we could be as spontaneous as we are in life. In the sense that when a conversation is going, and if suddenly somebody gets a little extra rude, a little extra loud, a little extra funny, a little anything other than from take to take, rehearsal to rehearsal, we are spontaneous enough to allow that moment to change us, to change the way we react. Now, it's not going to change the lines, obviously, but there is a cornucopia of ways that you can deliver a line based on what it is you're getting from the other actor. The way we can just turn a phrase so ever so slightly in life, and it can take on all sorts of meaning. We're so adept at this in life. It's so easy to do in life. We're so clever with this in life. But man, it seems like we're always huffing and puffing, trying to be clever. And we're huffing and puffing and trying to be clever when we're acting because everything is just harder. It's more arduous. We're not as free. We're not as in the groove with what's going on because we're trying to manipulate moments, and we're just far too aware of a lot of notions and obligations and things we think we're supposed to do in a scene. What are we supposed to do? Well, you know, I keep saying, I call it the real life actor approach because whenever I have a question, I'll just turn to the book of real life and I'll think, well, what really happens? How do we plan for things? Aside from knowing what I'm going to talk about, so we could say, you know, a direct parallel would be, I basically know what I'm going to say. Aside from that, in real life, we certainly know how we feel about things. We know why we're right, the other person's wrong. We know what it is we're after. But the specifics, the very exact specifics of delivery, of emotion, of the exactness that so many actors think is so important to come up with before you walk into rehearsal or onto set is something we never, ever think about in life. We never think about it. We are so good at communicating in life. We are so good at being able to walk into any room, any situation, and deal with the matter at hand. It's never an encumbrance when we have to suddenly figure out how we're going to deal with this onslaught of information that may come at us in life. It's so easy. I spend my weeks now dealing with these wonderful Zoom actors, constantly telling them to plan nothing. Know the basic information in the scene. Be able to answer my basic questions. And then let's just tee up the ball and see what happens. What is it about this planning? You know, the more I do it, the more time I'm spending with so many actors now, the more obvious it becomes because I see it working time after time after time. What is with the planning? What is the plan? What, why? What, you got to know how you're going to say it? You got to know how mad you're going to get or how you're going to do that line really angrily. You got to know exactly what's going to happen here and what you're going to do. What are you scared of? What is it that's going to happen? You're not going to know how to communicate? You're not going to know how to go up or go down or go sideways or laugh or be sad? What is it that actors are so worried about? I mean, listen, I know that the holy grail of acting, and I think you would agree, is this notion that we work moment to moment, that we are spontaneous, that we are present, that everything is kind of being cooked on the spot, and, you know, we're alive, and it's all happening in real time. That is the aspiration. That is the thing that when we see it in other actors, we applaud it. We marvel at it. We love it. So, doesn't it make sense that if you preoccupy yourself with figuring out ways to do the thing, there's no way on earth you're ever going to actually be able to be free enough to be spontaneous in the moment. It's just not going to happen. I don't know how it would happen. The one thing cancels out the other. It's an impossibility. In our biggest moments in life, we walk into situations merely knowing how we feel about things. We may know what we're going to talk about. We may know exactly what we're going to bring up, the story we're going to tell, the examples we're going to cite, the hearsay that we heard that we will now repeat. And I'm bringing this up because there can be moments in life where we, in fact, are going to repeat a spoken line, a thing we heard, a thing that was said, a story that has been told. In other words, we're going to actually say something that we know the exact words of in the exact order, just like acting. It's probably happened to you. You have gone into a situation and said, "Hey, Don, Sally told me, blah, da, 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 da," and then you said, da, 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 and then she said, da, 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 da. I mean, you know exactly what you're going to do. Now, I want you to think about those moments. There's a perfect example. You actually knew the exact lines you were going to say, but in real life, were you ever at all preoccupied with how you would say said lines? Think about it. Never. Now, I know this is a simple concept, but it not only bears repeating, you really have to think about it. You've got to stop going over your lines with even a vague idea of how you think you're going to do them. Now, I know that sounds crazy, because then you think, well, then what? No, well, what you need to do is be completely clear on, well, how you feel about things, or, you know, what the point is you want to get across, and maybe how you want to get it across, and, you know, what you hope the outcome will be, all the same things we know in life. And then if you can try to kind of clear your mind of a concept of how you think you're going to do something, your chances of just starting into the scene and allowing yourself to just start speaking, start dealing with it, and just start going, your chances of spontaneity are greatly going to be enhanced, because you will not have this kind of this preconceived notion of how you think the scene might go or how you might say things. I mean, listen, I spend a lot of the Zoom classes with people that I think were a little stuck by changing their rhythm, getting them to sit down. Now, if they were standing, telling them to slow way down, telling them to speed up. I do everything I can to break them out of the idea that they thought they were going to use, because I hear it. I can feel them bring in their rehearsal into the room. And so I tell them, okay, I want you to try it like this. And I give them something very different. Now, what that does is it breaks them out of an idea they had. And lo and behold, what I'm able to show them time and time again is that on the spot, they can make an adjustment. And then suddenly, the entire scene is fresh to them. They suddenly prove to themselves that, my goodness, I can just start here with a slightly different notion, and right now, for the first time, I can just deal what's coming at me, and I can make the sense I want as it pertains to the outcome that I'm looking for, as opposed to pre-baking it. This is one of the main reasons that I think it is crazy for actors to rehearse together. Let me give you an analogy. Let's say that what you're trying to do as an actor is develop these skills to where you can be absolutely spontaneous, to where you're like that jazz musician I keep talking about, where, you know, you're going to play the music, but you're going to riff in your own way. It's going to be your way of doing things. You're going to be able to go with the flow of what's happening. If the director gives you something different to do, you're going to be able to do it on the spot. If the other actor, unbeknown to you, changes the way that they're reacting, you'll be able to, in that moment, counter those changes with the appropriate response that makes perfect sense out of the scene. If that is the type of actor you're looking to be, one of these spontaneous types who can absolutely, in any situation, come up with wonderful new stuff on the spot, think about this. It would be as if what you were doing, and this is the analogy, is you wanted to be a great fighter, boxer, martial artist, whatever. You wanted to be someone who was very adept at being able to win, in as much as you would not only be able to defend yourself, but you would be able to overtake your opponent. And so you would be very good at being able to deal with whatever was coming at you. When you go and you rehearse at your friend's house, essentially what you're doing is you're choreographing a fight. That's what you're doing. Your friend's going to do that. They're going to put the plate down there. I'm going to walk over here. I'll yell, hey, you know, it's good if you stand up right then. And then we kind of work the whole thing out. Essentially, what you're doing is you're practicing your fighting skills, but you're choreographing them. You're choreographing them because I know what my friend is going to do. He knows what I'm going to do. And we've worked the whole thing out with props and costumes and beats. We've got it all worked out. And so if you think about it, using the analogy, if you were a fighter and when you practiced, it was always about choreography. I know what you're going to do. I'll throw my... There's no surprises. You're going to come around the table. I'll yell at you here. You'll start to cry at the window. I'll come up behind you, put my hand on your right shoulder, and I'll kind of put my finger under your chin and lift it. You know, what we're doing here is we're choreographing a match. A fight. Now, how on earth is that going to make you adept at being spontaneous? It isn't. Ever. Forever. Never. That's why you never want to do it. That's why I don't even want to run lines with people. I don't want to know what you're going to do before I go on to the field of play. Before I get in the ring, I don't want to know what you're going to do. I want the first time that I hear it, that I see it, that I start working with you, that I start figuring things out, I want it to be once we start working. That gives me the best edge at being able to be spontaneous on the set and find new things in this particular situation, on this particular set, with this particular actor that I may just have met. You want to sharpen your skills so that you are kind of ready for everything and anything. You don't want to start to be one of these actors that is constantly grooming their moves. And if you are, I wonder why. What are you afraid of? You have to work it out in your living room, in your car, in your trailer on the way over, because if you don't, you'll be lost. How do you get through your days? How do you get through all those situations that I've outlined? How do you do that stuff? You see, I think that this notion, this fear, this obligation to what we think is doing the work is what is actually crimping your ability to be able to be spontaneous, to be alive and fresh and open when you're on a set, when you're actually in rehearsal. It only takes a millisecond to react. It's not like, oh my goodness, if I don't plan it all out before, you know, it'll take me a while and then they'll have reaction and then I'll have to think and then a minute later, perhaps I'll come up with, really? Man, I tell you what, circles I travel in, people are incredibly quick. Everybody's too fast. Everybody's got to retort too quick. They've got their comebacks ready. They cut me off. They figure out what I'm going to say, and they already know how they're going to react. I mean, I find that in life, we are so fast at being able to just slay people. I mean, isn't that the way it is in your world? I mean, don't you spend most of your time saying, hey, can I finish what I'm saying? That's not what I mean. Hold on a second. Let me finish my point. You know, everybody's just quick. Everybody's reacting, man. It's like speed chess in life. Is it not? See, I love the Zoom thing because I also know there's no way that these people are going to be getting together. I mean, I guess they could Zoom together, but, you know, we have a deal where there is no rehearsing. They know that. I mean, why study with me if you're going to break the rules? But because most of the time people are on different parts of the earth, you know, the Australians working with a person in Toronto who might be working with a person in Germany, you know, I mean, they don't get together. And now with COVID, you know, we definitely don't get together. But I know it's a lot easier for me to be able to get people to, in a sense, not over prepare for how things are going to go. That's the beauty of not overpacking your knapsack. Working actors travel light. You just want the least amount of information, of pertinent information, the stuff that you need to know to make a scene work, and no more. That's going to give you your best opportunity to be spontaneous, to be in the moment, to be clear-headed. It is a fallacy to think that what makes a great performance is more information, because you will be obligated to that information. You will think, how will I bring that information into play into this scene? Everything will fall into place and take care of itself if you know the basics of what you need to know in a scene. What you're after, why you're right, why the other person's wrong, who they are to you. The simplest stuff that you would know in life. Don't overcook it. Don't overthink it. And don't pack your knapsack with stuff you're never going to use on the trip. Don't do that. That's why I'm always trying to get actors where I want them to be in the fewest moves possible. I know that if I can keep them from thinking too much and I can just get them to focus on the very basics of what is important on the scene, man, you just see it instantly. You can see it instantly. I can see their heads free up. I can see now they don't feel obligated to a lot of notions that they thought were so important. And now they're just kind of moving ahead, right ahead with what it is they think they need to be doing, what they're after, and then all that other stuff, all the stuff we worry about, the coloration of the scene, the character work, the layers, the depth, all of that stuff takes care of itself immediately and on the spot. And here's why. Because all of that stuff is already baked in. It's a part of who you are. It's when you start speaking about something, you know, it's just there. It's in the lines. It's kind of cooked into the scene already. It's something the audience can easily imagine because of what the characters allude to. You don't need to focus on everything all at once. Planning. Too much planning is what's killing it. I really ask the actors that come in to work out with me, basically I say, how do you want me to prepare? I say, I want you to do this. I want you to memorize your lines and just get them down. But I do not want you to get focused on a certain way you're going to say them. I want you to say them at all speeds, and I want you to be able to make quick sense. So when you go slow, make sense. Go fast, make sense. Go medium, make sense. Just make sense, like talk sense. Don't worry about like emotional, perfectly layered sense. I just want you to be able to speak through each of your lines, talking, making sense. You know what you're talking about, but do not get stuck on some certain way you're going to say it. I want you to be able to do it at any speed. If I ask you a question about what's going on in the scene, what that means, when you said that, what is that about? You're referencing something. What's that reference to? I just want you to be able to answer that in a few quick sentences. That's all I want. Then I want you to show up. That's it. Every single time an actor does that, they do their best work. Every time. All right, that's what I have to say about spontaneity. And if you haven't checked out one of the Zoom classes, send me an email. I'll set it up for you. They're groovy. Thanks for listening.
You have been listening to a Real Life Actor podcast. This is Jeff Seymour. Real Life Actor podcasts can be found on Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, and Podomatic. Please tell your friends. Thanks for listening.